Our second reading is 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Let's turn there. Second Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David, because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days, the Edomites revolted under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. And then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So, as we mentioned last hour, we have this very difficult situation after Jehoshaphat dies and his son Azariah takes his place, And Azariah is a wicked, wicked man. And he does things that are indeed inimical to his father's reign. For all the good that Jehoshaphat did, his son undid that good. We remember, don't we, that very often we speak about advancing the faith of our fathers, going farther than they did. But we also know that in the history of redemption, whether it's a civil estate or a churchly estate, we often end up with a retraction, with going backward instead of going forward. This is one of those times. And we bewail that, and we rightly say that that Azariah was wicked. Yep, we know that. Jehoram. I've said Azariah twice now. Jehoram, his son, was extremely wicked. We recognize that. But we also must recognize that that this is a part of who we are as human beings. In other words, we don't want to focus all of our negativity upon Jehoram. We want to recognize that in ourselves, the seeds of that are there. So we want to persevere instead and advance instead of retracting. So there were a couple of things that he did at the beginning here. The first thing was that before Jehoshaphat left, of all of that spoil that they brought back from the fight against the Ammonites and the Moabites and those of Mount Seir, he lavished a lot of that upon his sons. He gave them gold and silver and precious things, and he set them up as co-rulers with him in various places of the kingdom. And what happened with that then? When Jehoram came to power, he brought them all near and killed them. He didn't want any rivals to his authority. He didn't want to have to answer to anyone, right? We've heard that the genius of Presbyterianism is that no one person is without authority or without someone watching over him. Well, Jehoram didn't want any potential rivals, and so he killed them all. And he also took Athaliah to wife, the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab. And so what did he bring south then? He brought south the worship of the kings of Israel. And in that day, that meant Baal worship. From Jezebel's father, through Jezebel, then Ahab, and then now through their daughter, this comes into the southern kingdom. And so we now recognize that the evil fruit of Jehoshaphat's naivete in making a league with the northern kingdom issues in a marriage between the king of the southern kingdom and the daughter of the idolatrous king of the northern kingdom. And so Jehoram and Athaliah marry, and the evil fruit that comes of that. And we'll see that in the chapters that ensue. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. And so we want to take care, right? Take heed, you to whom this applies, who you take as a mate. This man took Athaliah, and the kingdom suffered greatly for it, as well as his own house. She was an idolater of the house of Ahab. We must remember also how and why we make associations with others, how we enter into league with them, and why we do that. As I've told you before, George Gillespie has a very nice section on that in his miscellanies. When we can lawfully enter into leagues with people that are not believers, if we have common godly cause, if that's a common godly cause, that we can join with, say, another group of people for the promotion of some godly aim, if we have that in common with them. But very often we're going to find that we don't have much in common with unbelievers. So we need to be very, very careful what we do there, lest we end up being corrupted by those good intentions, like Jehoshaphat and his house was. All right, so then the first salvo that the Lord brings, you notice he doesn't take the kingdom away from him because he had made a promise to David. So he's the last of the line. The Lord will allow him to live and his youngest son after him, because the Lord will indeed preserve that Davidic line. But he does begin to send him warnings. These are trumpets, beloved. warning trumpets that you're doing evil, Jehoram. And so the first is the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah. The Edomites revolted. Okay. Well, the Edomites were under subjugation. Well, remember that Edom and Seir are the same. Their army has just been slaughtered by the Ammonites and Moabites when they fought amongst themselves. And so they were still under tribute to Judah, but they revolted from that. They saw the weakness in an ungodly king. And so they revolted. And when he went to attack them by night, he was surrounded by them and barely escaped with his life by killing the men that had surrounded him. And the Lord allowed him to go home. But the Edomites continued their revolt unto this day, it says in the passage. So this is one of those warning shots that God had given him. Yes, he gave him space to repent. He hadn't repented yet. And so he sent him this judgment, like we heard earlier. And did it have any effect on him? No, it had no effect on him. As a matter of fact, like many unbelievers, when the Lord would send affliction on them, they make things worse. So what did he do after that? Notice verse 10, the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Now here is a real-time knowledgeable thing that he could have taken hold of. He could have written into Libnah and said, why have you revolted? Because you've forsaken the Lord God of our fathers. That lightning's going to fall and we don't want it to fall on us. He didn't do that. He just let them go. Right? Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication. By fornication, what the author means here is spiritual fornication. To eat meat, sacrifice to idols, to sacrifice to false gods, to be Baal worshipers. And that's what he caused the people to do. Note the influence of his wife there. And he compelled Judah there too. So the Lord sent him a warning, sent him a second warning, right? Seir revolted, Libnah revolted, he didn't hear, and so the Lord sends him a prophet. And even in this prophet, the warning of the prophet, the prophet's warning, what we have here is yet another opportunity to repent. And we're going to remember what the prophet Jeremiah has taught us about such prophecies as this. When I speak to a people, then I'm going to judge them. If they turn from their wickedness, I will turn from the evil that I said I would do unto them. So even though Elijah prophesies doom to Jehoram, it's still an opportunity for him to repent. He could have been like the king of Nineveh that said, who knows whether the Lord will turn from the fierceness of his anger. He could have said that, but he didn't. And so what happened? Well, because he's walked in the way of the kings of Israel, he's made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, because you've slain your brethren of your father's house, which were better than you, I'm going to smite you with a great plague and your children. And so he had sickness and he lost his children. In come the Arabians and the Philistines, and although it was not as severe as the fall under Babylon, most Old Testament scholars say that at this time, under Jehoram's watch, the invasion from the Philistines was nearly as bad as when Nebuchadnezzar came and sacked Jerusalem. And they killed all of his sons and his wives, but they left him Jehoahaz. And again, that's of the Lord's mercy to the house of David. And then after that, he became, can I say it this way, a walking witness to his own uncleanness. Right? He had a disease in his bowels and they fell out of him. Sordid, yeah, this just gives you the creeps to think about that, doesn't it? He became a walking witness to his uncleanness. And so then when he died, they made no burnings for him like the burnings of his fathers. And he died, it says, without being desired. What an epitaph. And I'm always reminded when I read this story of young Gilbert Tennant. I'll read you this. Some of you have heard it before, some of you have not. One of the sore trials and deep sorrows of Mr. William Tennant's life was the waywardness of heart and early death of his youngest son, Gilbert. This son grew up to manhood years, was married, and began to practice medicine. But he was very worldly. His father often prayed for his conversion. While engaged in his medical duties, the son contracted a mortal fever. In the midst of its ragings, he was overwhelmingly convicted of his sin. But finally, he obtained peace in the Savior, and calling for his old companions in sin, solemnly exhorted them to repent. After a few days more of great suffering, he died, 28 years of age. And there being no minister nearby, his father preached a funeral sermon with impressive power. The grave of this young man, with its inscribed tombstone, may be seen a few yards distant from the front door of the church. It reads thus: Here lies the mortal part of Gilbert Tennant. In the practice of physic, he was successful and beloved, young, happy, and in the highest bloom of life, death found him hopefully in the Lord. But, O reader, had you heard his last testimony, you would have been convicted of the extreme madness of delaying repentance. Yeah. Jehoram never made it that far. He died without being desired. Oh, beloved, do not delay repentance. With that, then, let's